we have the more sure prophetic word, or we have the prophetic word confirmed. Welcome back to the house, the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 145. It's May the 4th, 2015. Well, we have it, said Peter. We have it. But how did the Holy Spirit take that word that Peter had, that Holy Spirit-inspired Bible, how did it get into your hands? And to study that is to study the process called transmission. Transmission, the term. And by the way, this is all from Bible.org. You can look it up yourself. This is not original with me, but I want you to have it as a part of this study. The term transmission describes the ancient process of copying Hebrew and Greek manuscripts to preserve them for future generation and to distribute them for greater use. Since there were no copy machines, the texts had to be copied by hand. In this way, they were transmitted. Let's talk about the writing materials that they had. The original writings of Scripture. And by the way, when we talk about the inspiration of Scripture, we're talking about the original, as they say, autograph copies that were actually written by the apostles themselves. And none of those things are available. There is no original available of any text of Scripture. Those are the ones that were inspired and were passed on, though. And they were done on a variety of materials. For example, stone, you know, the Ten Commandments, Exodus 24. And then there was papyrus. Papyrus is made by pressing and gluing two layers of split papyrus reeds to form a sheet. And maybe it's mentioned in 2 John 12. The word paper, and Revelation 5:1, scroll or book. Then there were animal skins, vellum, calf, antelope, parchment, sheep or goat, leather, cow or bull. 2 Timothy 4:13 mentions parchment. Now, to inscribe on these materials, a variety of tools were used, including a stylus, a chisel, a pen, ink. The copying process of the Old Testament is next that we want to talk about. That was the writing materials. What about the copying process? At first, during the Old Testament era, the only copies of the Scriptures were kept at the temple. At first, only the first five books, the law. And for many years, even the copies of the law were lost until they were found during Josiah's reign. That's recorded in 2 Kings 22. God preserving His word. As the books of history, that's Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, the books of poetry, Job and Psalm, and the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all that, as all of these things were written and gathered together, scribes began to copy the Scripture for use in various synagogues and for private purchase and study. Now we've got to talk about the Masoretes. The Masoretes. The Masoretic scribes lived from around 500 A.D. That's our generation, our time. That's after Christ. A.D. means Anno Domini, in the year of the Lord. From 500 to 1000, the Masoretic scribes, in charge of the Old Testament manuscript copying, used a very meticulous system of transcription and had a deep reverence for the text. God used their almost obsessive respect for the text to preserve the text's accuracy. They had specific rules on the type of ink and the quality and size of parchment sheets. No individual letter could be written down without having looked back at the copy in front of them. The scribe could not write God's name with a newly dipped pen, lest it blotch. And even if the king should address him while he's writing God's name, he's to take no notice of the king. They were so meticulous that they counted all the paragraphs, words, and even letters, so that they could know by counting if they had done it perfectly. They knew the middle letter of each book, so they could count back and see if they had missed anything. Very meticulous. God preserved his word. Let's talk about existing Old Testament manuscripts. Stay with me now. Number one, the Masoretic manuscripts. We actually have very few complete or nearly complete Old Testament manuscripts existing today. There are four or five really significant Masoretic manuscripts that are the basis of the best Hebrew Bible available today. Now, these copies were made between about A.D. 900 and A.D. 1000 by the Masoretes. Number two, the Septuagint evidence. The Septuagint, you've heard it, I'm sure. What is a Septuagint? It's a translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. Now, we're still talking Old Testament. Translation of the Hebrew Old Testament into the Greek language, which was made in the 2nd or 3rd century before Christ. All right, are we together on that? A Hebrew Old Testament translated into the Greek language. You usually think in terms of Greek being the New Testament. And it was. But in this case, an actual translation was made into the Greek of the Old Testament Hebrew. There are about 300 existing copies of that Septuagint version. This was the common Hebrew Bible that would have been used and quoted by Jesus and the apostles. They lived in a Greek culture. And so, when they made reference to their Old Testament, they were actually referring to a Greek translation. Even though written in Greek, scholars can generally determine what Hebrew words were being translated in the Septuagint. It provides evidence that the Hebrew Bibles were copied extremely well for all the years between the Septuagint translation, which was 2nd and 3rd century before Christ, and our best existing Hebrew copies, 900 to 1000 A.D. And then, of course, we can't talk about this without talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls. Since the oldest complete copy of a Hebrew Old Testament in existence is dated about A.D. 1000, well, that's a long time after the originals were written, say 1400 to 400 B.C. At that date now, all of these original Old Testament writings came to us between 1400 and 400. But, as I said and just read, it's a long time from 1400 B.C. to 1000 A.D., which is the oldest complete copy of a Hebrew Old Testament. Right, a time in between there. But there are portions that date back farther. Most significant are the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, they were discovered in caves in 1947 by an Arabian shepherd boy. These well-preserved Hebrew text fragments date back to 100 B.C. Now, all of a sudden, it's not 1000 A.D. that's your oldest text. Now we can go back to 100 B.C. And they include, these Dead Sea Scrolls, many Bible portions, including some complete books. Their value to the credibility of our Bible is that, amazingly, There's virtual agreement between these Hebrew texts and the one that's dated 1,100 years later. They didn't change. The whole idea of the corrupted text, that's just a myth put out by Muslims and others. They didn't change. Proves how accurately the scribes copied for all those years. Example of Isaiah in the Dead Sea Scrolls, through all the years of copying, the text of Isaiah remained virtually identical. So it was written, Isaiah was, in 700 BC by Isaiah. But then the copies were found among the Dead Sea Scrolls, 100 BC, and then complete Hebrew manuscript, AD 1000, all that time, basically the same book. And in today's Bible, you have what Isaiah wrote. The evidence shows that our Old Testament today is extremely accurate. It's a reflection of the original manuscript. And then there's the copying process of the New Testament, which was originally written in Greek. Changing gears now. New Testament. First, the types of Greek manuscripts. Now, the New Testament books were originally written in papyrus sheets. And that's a plant material. We talked about it already. Or parchment. We already talked about that. Writing at that time was done all in capital letters with no punctuation, no division between the words. And so all the copies from the first to about the 6th century AD were done that way. This form is sometimes responsible for confusion by Greek textual scholars to this day, who need to determine where one word stops and the next word begins. By the 7th or 8th centuries, Greek manuscripts were put into small letters with punctuation, word and paragraph divisions. Both types of ancient manuscripts do exist today. The reliability of the New Testament Greek texts is even more certain than the Old Testament texts. The New Testament was written between A.D. 45 and A.D. 90. The whole thing, all 27 books in those 45 years. Some fragments of Greek texts exist that date back to A.D. 120 and A.D. 150. That's only 35 to 100 years after the originals that Paul and John and Luke and the others wrote. That's not very far. Another big help to Greek textual scholars is the fact that there are 4,000 to 5,000 New Testament Greek manuscripts. Maybe not all of them are complete, but between the partial ones and the complete ones, up to 5,000 Greek manuscripts that exist. By comparing these many copies, the scholars can weed out many possible copying mistakes. So there are two factors confirming that the Greek texts available for scholars today are very accurate reflections of the original writing. So we have copies dated closely to the time of the original writing, and we have lots of copies. Two factors. And then I'm looking at a chart that compares the New Testament manuscript evidence with other Greek literature considered accurate by historians. I mean, they don't question the accuracy of these other manuscripts, non-biblical stuff, but oh, they don't have anything compared to what the New Testament has. Look at this. I'm going to tell you the name of a person or a book or a person's writings and tell you the date of the oldest manuscript existing and then tell you how many copies we have of that. Let's look at Plato, for example, the works of Plato. The very earliest that we have of anything of Plato was 1,200 years later after he wrote. And there's only seven manuscripts available. Caesar, Julius Caesar, 900 years later, and only 10 copies. Herodotus, the historian, 1,300 years later, we have his first manuscript. 8 copies available. Aristotle, 1,400 years later, and only 5 of his. The New Testament, 35 to 100 years later, and we have 5,000 manuscripts. Now, which do you think is the most reliable? God has sovereignly preserved his word in virtually accurate form. We can be confident that the Greek texts used by scholars making modern translations are very accurate. Well, we have just a little bit more, and yet we're a little bit over. I think I'll finish that little bit tomorrow, Lord willing, and then we'll move right on from there to the subject called the canon. What? Now, this is not about the Civil War here. It's a C-A-N-O-N. We'll talk about that tomorrow. So I'm so glad that you could be with us today. Thank you so much for being interested in the things of God. And we'll talk again soon. Don't forget 2 Peter 1:19 that we began with. We have the sure prophetic word, the more sure, more than anything that Peter ever saw right there with Jesus firsthand. We have a more sure prophetic word, or we have the prophetic word confirmed. Any way you want to translate that verse, it comes out good for us. We have a wonderful, wonderful revelation from God, confirmed. Have you read it yet today? God bless.